So if you want,
it's been fun for me too.
Thank you. morning. Welcome to worship. Would you be seated, please? I do want to extend a very warm welcome to everybody who's here today. If you're visiting or you're here for the first time or if you haven't been here for a while, we're just so happy to see you. We come from so many activities and occupations in our lives, and I hope that this will be an opportunity in worship today just to lay our burdens down, lay them at the foot of the cross. I heard a French philosopher say one time, we spend so much of our lives borrowing trouble from the future. My life has been a series of catastrophes, most of which never occurred. So let's just leave those behind and enter into worshiping God together. Let's do that now. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Would you be seated?
A reading from the book of Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Salvation, of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom should I shrink? The Lord is my light and my salvation. From whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I? Of the Lord, for this I long, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been on about 10 canoe trips in my life, but the first one was the most memorable. It was our honeymoon. 7 glorious days in Algonquin Park, 140 kilometers of paddling, and 7 kilometers of portaging. The most brutal portage was on the very first day when we had to carry our full load, canoe, paddles, food, toiletries, the rest, from Canoe Lake through Muddy Ink Lake right towards Tom Thompson Lake. 2 perishingly long kilometers. Fortunately, a friend of ours had helped us coach on what to pack. Cut down on the weight, he said. Cut down on all the non-essentials. Keep your load to a bare minimum. So that when you reach the portage, you'll be able to go one way all at once in one haul. And we were scrupulous at doing that. We even took a tube of toothpaste and we squeezed out the amount that we wouldn't be needing in those 7 days and left that behind. The portage was still long and arduous, but we were able to go from point A to B, 2 kilometers, with just 3 or 4 rest stops. Now, you have to forgive me, because now I am going to gloat. At the beginning of the portage, there were 3 other toned, oh my goodness, hefty canoeists who hadn't been told what to pack and what not to pack. They were carrying 5 cases of beer. And for them, the portage was 10 kilometers long when you add up all the back and forth. On a canoe trip, it's not just a matter of getting rid of all the burdens. It's a matter of lessening your load and managing it. If I had more time to tell you, I'd tell you about our last night on the canoe trip, because a bear ravaged our campsite. We were in a little pup tent, banging tents, shining our light, doing nothing. It just reached up 9 feet, ripped the bottom of our pack sack, ate all the food, and we went hungry for the next 12 or 16 hours. Anyway, some honeymoon, eh? Today, we are looking at the events in our life which can weigh us down. The loads we carry on our shoulders, in our thoughts, on our minds, and as you can imagine, the Bible has a lot to say about that. But before we get to scriptures, let's travel far back into some Greek mythology. The god Zeus was angry at Sisyphus the king for doing some naughty things. Sisyphus got his comeuppance by having to spend eternity rolling a huge boulder up the hill, and when they get near the top, the stone would slip down and go to the bottom, and over and over and over this cycle occurred, condemning Sisyphus to an eternity of useless efforts and unending frustration. It's a quintessential parable about things going wrong in our lives, resulting in our carrying burdens too much to bear, sometimes carrying them to the grave. Occasionally, the weight comes from something we've done wrong. We've hurt someone, abused someone. Most of the time, our burdens come by chance, by accident, undeserved and unwanted. I want to tell you one more thing before we shine light on the lessons from Isaiah and Matthew as to a strategy for dealing with hardship. Miss Muggeridge was an elderly parishioner in a former congregation where I was pastor, I mean some several decades ago. She lived next door to the church, and rain or shine, she was always at the early service. I visited her home about once a year, and we had tea and biscuits. And after about 10 years of doing this, she whispered to me that she had a secret, and she needed to share it with somebody. And she was so ashamed of it that she lived her life as a hermit, closed off from other people. She'd been married some 60 years previously, and her husband, after 2 days of marriage, in a rage, cursed her, shoved her to the floor, bruised her, and stormed out of the house, never to be seen again. She feared that he would return. She also dreaded the shame that she would feel if anybody else were to find out about that, her brief marriage and this tormentor. And while she had done little, probably nothing wrong, she felt like Sisyphus, ever condemned to embarrassment and heartache, really a product of her time. Miss Muggeridge did not want to be identified as a once-married woman, a bruised woman, but was now carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders. Makes the illustration of squeezing out a tube of toothpaste seem fairly inconsequential, doesn't it? For this was real pain with real consequences. A little more to say about Miss Muggeridge shortly. People have always known what it's like to bear a heavy load: financial debt, broken relationships, ill health. You know very well what haunts you and sometimes enters your dreams, dreams that even become nightmares. Well, financial debt, ill health, they just add up, don't they? The Bible uses a metaphor for all of these unwanted loads. A yoke is the heavy bar that's placed around our shoulders, dragging us down. It's a very dated metaphor, isn't it? A yoke is that heavy bar placed on the shoulders of an animal, a beast of burden, so it can pull an even heavier load behind it. Well, usually it's an oxen team, which is even more foreign with us because few of us have ever seen an ox, let alone an oxen team in Canada. But in the passage this morning from Isaiah, we heard some good news that the Lord has broken the yoke of his people's burden. They have been freed from their oppression. They have been liberated. Light is beginning to shine on them. And the Gospel of Matthew echoes this: "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Matthew says that while one yoke will be taken from us, the Lord will place yet another yoke on our shoulders. But this yoke will be easy to bear because it is gentle and it involves humble service to other people. Listen to the words that are going to be sung as our hymns today. "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? What a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer." I am thoroughly convinced that our prayer life, our faith life, our attitude to life will just make such a difference to us. Not that I'm hearing a message that the burdens will disappear, but our shoulders will be made stronger, and our burdens might be eased and even subside. But I don't want to give sound bites and platitudes from the pulpit. It's not easy. I've been with a lot of people over the past few weeks, most of them very elderly, friendly, faithful, good people, and almost all of them sharing something mightily weighting them down. So prayer, yes. Support from our community, absolutely. But I remember listening to a couple who were sharing the huge vulnerabilities of their lives, and we prayed together at the end of my visit, and I added, "You folk just need a magic wand, but I'm afraid I left mine at home today." They didn't take that as dismissive. It was the realization that some stones are very heavy. That brings us back to Miss Muggeridge. I was humbled at the trust she placed in me, despite my inadequate skills. Today, we're so fortunate to have professional counselors and therapists and women's shelters and support agencies to refer people to. When Miss Muggeridge died, I was honored to take her funeral, but I was concerned that not a single person would show up. So I asked five Christian souls from the early service that she faithfully attended. Most didn't even know her name, and they didn't ask why I was asking them to go. So six of us were praying for her at her burial site. I wish we could have done more. I wish she would have trusted us more, but it just wasn't a time for that. But here we were at her gravesite. Sorry. As if it were yesterday, helping her with her great journey heavenward to the one place where all of her burdens could be laid down. I'd like to tell you that prayer is essential. Prayer gives us clarity and hope. The knowledge that we are not alone, that God is always with us. It helps put a stay on the constant looping of our burdens in our minds. And just as I was thinking, this is not enough, my friends. There's got to be something more to lift us up. I found a missing link. Just one more important thing I need to add. It involves fostering a sense of gratitude even in the midst of pain. This leapt out at me from the most unobvious of all places, an obituary I randomly picked up and read in the paper this week. A youthful man in his early 50s discovered that he had terminal brain cancer. And with humor and optimism, this self-reflective note was included in his obituary. I wake up confused. And then I learned that I have this disease that is brutal and deadly, he pens. But then I have learned that I've had an amazing life. I see my beautiful children, my wonderful wife, our great house, our dog Stella. I learned that my parents are healthy and supportive. I'm reminded of all of our incredible friends and that I've had a good career and think have made a difference in my life. And I can't help but think that I'm the luckiest guy in the world. A sense of gratitude amidst all the pain and suffering, that's a missing link. Thanksgiving and gratitude will not make our burdens disappear, but it helps put them in the perspective of a well-lived life. We might wish for much more than that. But I'm not sure if we dare ask for much more than that. Amen.
Come unto me. and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please assume a posture that's comfortable for you for prayer.
Let us pray to the loving God we have seen in Jesus. We pray that the light of God will shine in all the dark corners of the church and set us free from prejudice, small-mindedness, and hypocrisy, that as members of the body of Christ we can move freely through the power of God wherever we are called to go, available and active in God's service. Lord God of power, set us free to live. We pray that our world may be lit by this light in the darkness to bring freedom and hope wherever there is oppression, recognition and respect where there is none, and in all conflicts, positive ways forward. Lord God of power, set us free. We pray that in our homes, our workplaces, and our neighborhoods, the light of godly loving may soften harsh edges, encourage mutual caring, and heal dysfunctional or damaging relationships. Lord God of power, set us free to live. We pray that all those whose lives are fettered by the past, by rejection, guilt, pain, or anxiety, may be set free and encouraged to live to the fullest. Lord God of power, we pray for those in our parish who are suffering, especially Dan Lemansky, Patrick Conboy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Rick, Rita, and Rich, Al McMillan, and Abby Woodson. Lord God of power, we pray for those who have died, remembering John Cruz and Bob Kennedy, and those who miss them and are finding it very hard to cope with their loss. We pray for all those who have no one to help them through that last journey. Lord God of power, that is free to live. Almighty God, giver of all gifts, look on your church with grace and guide the minds of those who shall choose a new rector for this parish, that we may receive a faithful servant who will care for your people and support us in our ministries. Thank you, Father, for transforming our suffering and our mistakes again and again and again. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace. Loving God, before the world began, you called us. Make holy all we offer you this day and strengthen us in that calling. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world.
God, hear from us. Light amidst us. Bring us to light and life.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Thank you.
Gracious God, our hands have taken holy things. Our lives have been nourished by the body of your Son. May we who have eaten at this holy table be strengthened for service in your world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ, who walks on wounded feet, walk with you to the end of your path. May our Lord Jesus, who serves with wounded hands, help you to serve one another. May our Lord Jesus, who loves with a wounded heart, be your love now and always. Bless God wherever you go, and may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Just one more word from Ken before we go.
Two more words from Ken. First of all, I'm going to do something that Anglicans rarely do. I'm going to ask you to invite someone to church with you on the Sunday closest to Valentine's Day. Bring a friend, a family member, a grandchild. Honor them by your request. It's going to be an exceptionally special service. Now, the thing that Anglicans do is go to coffee hours. And that's where you're going to go now, but with one special request. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to speak to the person who has been sitting down here in the congregation for this service who has been on 20 canoe trips. Your job is to meet that person and greet that person.
Something that Anglicans do. That did not come out quite right. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.